The connection between an Italian plebiscite this weekend and the global financial system. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Here is why some market participants around the world are going into the office Sunday afternoon to keep an eye on things. By then, some results may be coming in from Italian polling places, a referendum that could determine the fate of the government there, but also of some shaky Italian banks. Let's hear why this goes way beyond Italy by switching to Rome, where we find BBC correspondent James Reynolds. Good morning to you. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
Constitutional reform is the subject at hand, but I think what Italian voters may see this vote as about more than constitutional reform.
It's about the position of the Prime Minister, Matteo Renzi, as well, because he's made it clear that if he loses this vote, he may resign. And therefore, it's not just about reform of the Senate. It is about what kind of government Italy will have. And that is what motivates the opponents of the Prime Minister to come out and vote. That's partly what this vote is about.
And if the government were to fall, if the vote did not go their way this weekend, it would not be unprecedented to have a change of government in Italy. Why is the concern in financial markets about this?
Italy's banks, eight of them, have a number of bad loans, more than $300 billion worth of bad loans. At the moment, Italy has put together some deals. The fear for the markets is that if Matteo Renzi goes, that would usher in a period of uncertainty. They would fear that the banks may unravel. And bear in mind, it's important because Italy is the third biggest economy in the Eurozone, the countries which use the euro.
And so we will have clarity on this, do you think, by late Sunday, or is it going to take into early next week to understand exactly what's happened?
On Sunday night, you might have an answer as to who's won the referendum or not. That's the easy part. The more difficult part is what happens next. Would Matteo Renzi follow through on his threat to resign? Would the president, Sergio Mattarella, accept a resignation?
The BBC's James Reynolds in Rome. James, thank you.
My pleasure.
Now, polls are predicting a defeat for that referendum, but I hesitate to even cite pre-election polls these days, given last month's experience in the U.S. The CEO of Starbucks, Howard Schultz, is stepping aside as CEO. In pre-market trading, Starbucks stock is down more than 3%. Schultz is staying with the company to focus on the high-end coffee market. Marketplace's Lewis Wallace is here with more.
Howard Schultz is really the guy who led Starbucks from being just a good coffee shop on the West Coast to being dominant around the world. And he's spoken out a lot as CEO on issues beyond coffee, including race and education. Here he is talking to our show a couple of years ago about the Starbucks program employing veterans.
This is not charity. This is not pity. This is the right thing to do for them and for us.
Starbucks overall has been doing really well, but competition is tight, and that's where the super fancy coffee comes in. Starbucks has a successful experimental studio in Seattle selling a $12 cup of coffee.
All right, Marketplace's Lewis Wallace. Schultz's successor is the company's chief operating officer, Kevin Johnson, who has a background at Microsoft and could bring a stronger technology focus to the coffee chain. Let's check the numbers. In just over an hour and a half, the government jobs report for November, the consensus guess that a strong-ish 180,000 more names will be on American payrolls. The Dow future is down 0.2%, 38 points. London's FTSE is down 1%.
We've got a whole new season of Codebreaker where radio journalism meets the Twilight Zone. This season, we got one question in mind. Can it save us? Subscribe right now on iTunes or your favorite podcast app.
This year, Louisiana made financial literacy a required topic in public schools. Louisiana is one of the poorest states in the country, and the FDIC has determined that it has the highest rate of people with no bank accounts at all. Jesse Hardman reports.
Tyrell Raby is a little nervous as he waits in line at a Baton Rouge bank.
Like, if you have a low credit score, like, the bank will not trust you that much.
Raby's 13, and he's at a fake bank set up at a mall in Baton Rouge with around 50 eighth grade classmates. He's participating in a financial literacy course for middle schoolers. As part of the exercise, he's pretending to be 33, single, with no kids.
I don't have that much money. My monthly income is $1,913, I think.
This prepubescent mob cycles through stations where they pay bills and taxes. At the end of the day, the goal is to balance the books. Jamie Doming is project manager for Junior Achievement, the organization that designed today's curriculum. She says despite all the giggling, reaching eighth graders is key to the process. Louisiana's high school dropout rate is around 25%.
Your highest risk students, they won't even be there by ninth or tenth grade.
Which means they'll be out in the real world, dealing with real financial issues, like formal banking, something many of their parents struggle with.
Well, we know that there are four times as many payday lending storefronts in Louisiana as there are McDonald's restaurants.
Jan Moeller directs a Louisiana nonprofit focusing on public policies that impact low and middle-income residents. Moeller says many Louisianans struggle with deep generational poverty and compensate through payday lenders or simply deal in cash. He says the state's decision to prioritize financial literacy should help.
We're not talking about calculus here. You don't have to be a math major to balance your checkbook.
Which is exactly what 8th grader Tyrell Raby is working on back at the fake bank. He's a bit overwhelmed by the 24 bills he's accumulated in this exercise. His takeaway for the day?
Learn the process of what you have to do to grow up.
That and also, bills are scary. In Baton Rouge, I'm Jesse Hardman for Marketplace.
Is this a chess move or a real concern? I don't know, but Russia's domestic intelligence agency said today it's uncovered a plot by foreign spies to mess with Russia's banking system. The FSB says the apparent scheme is designed to cause chaos with cyber attacks and undermine confidence in the banking system there with fake social media reports. Now, the Washington Post reported last week that Russians helped create some of the fake news reports on Facebook that some U.S. voters took for real. Our senior producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Janet Wynn. Stephanie Hughes produces Marketplace Tech. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.